Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
I'm Greg Meyer.
I'm Hannah Davidson.
What are you doing here? No.
Just popped in.
So Hannah Davidson she's been with Jacob's Well for a while. Yeah, we do some work with Voyagers Lutheran Ministries. We've got two camps up in northern Minnesota, and we've been doing that for a couple of years. And Hannah and Ren and Willie at that point were interns that spent the winter with us. And now Hannah's back in school after some other stuff.
Yeah, but I'm stuck here.
You're stuck. Are you stuck in school or just stuck here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes. The answer is yes. She's stuck talking to me. Yeah, but she's doing her high school ministry for us as well right now, so that's pretty cool. So you're also dressed interestingly.
Yeah, I don't usually dress like this, actually. And in case you didn't notice, when the high schoolers and middle schoolers walked in, we're all dressed a little funny today because we don't usually sit in the commons. So we wanted to make sure we stuck out a little bit and reminded you guys how awesome we are down in middle school and high school.
Yeah. So we're stuck on that now. Yeah, we want to talk about this stuck and getting unstuck stuff. I think it's really, really important. And there are a lot of ways we are stuck in life. You were just sharing some as you were talking with each other. And you know, some of the ways of getting stuck maybe are kind of innocuous. There's like you can just sort of mechanically get stuck, like you can get your car stuck in a snowbank.
Or maybe after you get your car out of the snowbank, then you're technically stuck with what to do with a broken car.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, technically. You can also get situationally stuck, like you were given a task, an assignment at work or at school that was more than you can handle in the time allotted, and you don't know how to figure that out.
Or you can get relationally stuck, so not knowing how to talk to someone without like hurting their feelings or trying to do what has to be said, but you don't want to step on toes.
Trying to tell me something? So there's lots of kinds of stuck, and those are none of those are the ones that we're going to talk about. You're on your own on those. We want to talk about a kind of stuck that we maybe do to ourselves, or at least we let be done to us, and that we have a lot of power over. And it isn't like technical in life. It's really some of these core things about who we are and how we relate to each other and how we interact with the world. And it really comes down to this way we understand ourselves, and we let ourselves be understood, and the way we understand the world around us. And it comes down to really what I'd like to talk about is the real and the ideal. We have this, our own reality, and we have these ideals that are out there, and we get stuck around that a lot. And I think it's really important. This is actually kind of a Jacob's Well kind of DNA piece. It's really pretty important for us to it's one of our language things that we try to make sure it's in all of our vocabulary so we can kind of understand it. So it's been a while since we've talked about it, so we thought this is a good chance to really revisit it, especially after going through our grooves, as Aaron pointed out a little bit ago. And you might think, well, yeah, but okay, but thinking about your real and ideal and getting stuck in life, I mean, isn't that really just sort of like psychology and stuff like that? What does that have to do with faith or church and all that kind of stuff? Well, it has a lot to do. And from my perspective, as a professional theologian, I think the most important theology today is not spoken in a lot of the theological terms you might have grown up with or you associate with churches about sanctification, redemption, and stuff. I mean, those are all good. They're really important. But those words just don't connect. They aren't really saying what we need to hear. And I think this idea about being stuck or not stuck, this idea of being having it clear, what does it mean to have, you know, a reality check? And what does it mean to know what ideals are and how ideals function in life, I think these are core theological concepts. They have to do with, we have this understanding in Jacob's Well about our ropes, these three strands of self, God, and others, woven together to make life strong and resilient. And without a good understanding of how the real and the ideal function in life, we are not going to do this well. So it's an important thing to us. And as I also think about, part of our New Groove series was looking at some of these base ideas behind the Bible. And one of the dangers is that we read one Bible verse and we try it and it's really kind of blows us away, and then we let that color everything about the Bible. And it's really the wrong thing to do. What we need to do is get a good grasp of the larger message of the Bible. What are the core messages in the Bible? And use those to interpret all those more difficult kind of single places in the Bible. So letting that whole message interpret those little individual places. And I say that because with Jesus, I think Jesus had a couple of very, very core messages. And one is what I often say is Jesus' mission statement. I don't know, you know, if you got one of Jesus' business cards, this is written on the back, all right? Obviously, 2,000 years ago, no one had mission statements. They didn't think that way. But if you're going to look at what Jesus said and say what one of the things he said would be his mission statement, I think it's this one. It's in John 10:10 where he says, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." And getting stuck is about not having an abundant life. Getting stuck is having a limited life. Not understanding how the real and the ideal function of your life are the things that keep us from that abundance. So that's kind of why we're diving into all this. And you know, one of the big things is I think we have some very unhealthy versions of real and ideal when we think about ourselves, when we think about our world. Let me tell you what I'm thinking about that. There's this unhealthy real, and why don't you zip up to the next there? And this is how we tend to see it. We have there's the real and there's the ideal out there. And the ones that we get saddled with have this tendency to be kind of unhealthy. Our real about ourselves, when we think about ourselves or we hear what the messages people have given us, often feels negative. There's often a lot of embarrassment, like if people actually knew who I was, they wouldn't like me, that kind of stuff. And in fact, that embarrassment even goes to the point of shame. That I'm ashamed of that. And, you know, that I don't think that's something we should ever really be experiencing. It often is always based on an unfair comparison. You know, we see other people out there with their, like, I don't know, you know, you may be showing up here this morning and you had a really rough week. And in fact, this morning may not have gone all that well. And you're just kind of proud that you actually got here. And then you look around this room and all these beautiful people here. And they've got these, you know, they're all dressed up, their lives are all put together, they got their smiles on their faces. The truth is, they all had a morning just like you, all right? But, and they look at you and they feel the same thing you do looking at them, all right? So there's unfair comparisons that create how we evaluate ourselves. Another thing about this unhealthy real we have in ourselves is that we keep it a secret, you know? I don't want people to know this about me, that I worry about this, that I have these doubts, or that I don't have this figured out sort of thing. And in fact, it gets to the point where we even deny it to ourselves. We keep ourselves from knowing it and admitting it. Not a healthy place to be, all right? That's an unhealthy real. The unhealthy ideal, when you go all the way to the other end of the spectrum, is often something that just doesn't exist. There's the, what's happening this evening? Super Bowl. Half the people knew. Right. The Falcons are playing the Patriots. But anyway, but this whole rock star world of professional football players, professional baseball, basketball players, musicians, you know, the Josh Clevelands of the world. I mean, the rest of us compare ourselves to them and go, oh, you know, I can't ever be that kind of person. I mean, that's really living. I mean, those people really matter. And, you know, what am I ever going to do? Those unhealthy ideals are out there. They're unrealistic. They're fantasies. I mean, they're kind of a fiction, for that matter. And, you know, they just don't really help us. You had a story about kind of one of your unhealthy...
Oh, yeah. So I think this could kind of... Like, for me, it was an unhealthy real kind of situation. But in high school, so long ago, I was actually voted like class goofball or whatever in the yearbook. Imagine that with my outfit today. But I think in high school that was kind of like the identity that I let myself have, and I never really like, you know, shared like my real self. And so, you know, I kind of like kept that to myself or whatever. And then I think other people just had this, you know, Hannah's always silly and like trying, you know, whatever. And so I think when I came to college and realized that I don't need to always be on or whatever, that was when I let myself move into the next part.
Yeah, because you were kind of you weren't sure about your real.
Yeah.
Your healthy real. So you kind of just picked out this other identity, right? Yeah, you know, and some of the other things about this unhealthy ideal then that we, you know, reach for, grab for, pick out is the thing that I call the greener pastures syndrome, that it just looks good. It's different from what I am, and if I could just, you know, If I could just earn $50,000 more, if I could just have that job, if I could just live in that house or in this city, everything would be okay, you know? If I just would have married that person. No. Pregnant pause, sorry. That's it. Hi, Chris. You know, but the truth is, the only reason it looks good is that you're not there. All right. Once you get there, you realize what life is like on that side, and they've got all the same problems. And you know, kind of like I said before, they're looking over the fence at your side. If I was only over there, everything would be okay. So you know, we just do that. And a lot of times, these unhealthy ideals are unachievable, like becoming that professional football player. If that's what it takes, you know, to really be a substantial person, I just really can't do it. I really can't do it. And one of the things that happens is you feel that your real, that you're saddled with, is always being judged by that ideal that's out there. And like I said, it's an unfair comparison. I mean, who's going to stand up to that? I know all this stuff about myself. I know how I'm inadequate. I know about what I don't know. I know about the mistakes I make. I know about all my self-doubts and stuff like that. And then I look at these people up on the screen that are just like so self-confident. They got everything put together. They, you know, they seem to always do it right. And you know, how am I going to do that? It judges me so much. And I find one of the emotions that lets me know that I'm kind of stuck in this unhealthy real and ideal is envy. Yeah. I want to be that person because somehow it's going to solve something for me. And envy is different than just admiring or, you know, kind of wanting to try something and so on. So that's the kind of thing. One of the things to notice between these two, the unhealthy real and the unhealthy ideal, is that there is no bridge. There is no way to go from one to the other. This unhealthy real that you see yourself as is just so beat up and actually so unrealistic, frankly. And that ideal is so out of reach and so, fantastic, so fictional, that how would you ever go from one to the other? Definition? Stuck. I'm stuck. What am I going to do? How do I ever get out of this in life? You know, not a fun place to be.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good hypothetical example of this. So say you know this pastor, and 5 days before he's, you know, giving this message, he asks you if you would like to be a part of it, right?
Interesting thought experiment.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, but you have this unhealthy real situation going on in your head where you're just like thinking of all the times that you're gonna screw up, and you get really embarrassed, and you're gonna say 40,000 times, and you just have to compare yourself to Greg, you know, because he's just
the theoretical name of the theoretical pastor.
Or maybe you have this unhealthy idea, like, well, maybe I can become famous, you know, from this one time I'm talking, or you know, I'm gonna just blow everyone out of the water, and Greg is gonna like be fired or whatever. again, hypothetical pastor here, but you know, just thought I'd put some hypothetical.
That could happen. That could happen. You know, the healthy real and ideal is this. You know, theoretical person who was asked 5 days ahead of time to help with a message wasn't expected, asked to be Greg, because one of me is enough, frankly, for anybody. No, I mean, we invited you because you've got stuff to say, and not to say what's in my mind, to bring what you have to the table, you know, and so that's good, you know, that's important, and the ideal that you would be reaching for is you do important work with people, and you want experience, and you want to learn and figure out how to do this better, and
maybe learn how to talk to people older than 5 or 6. And
did we mention you're a kindergarten teacher? Yeah, she's a kindergarten teacher. Yeah, so that's a really good example of it, actually, theoretically. So what is the healthy real and the healthy ideal that's in between those two? I don't think it takes too much to help you kind of come to grips with this. This isn't rocket science, but it's something we lose sight of constantly. And the healthy real is you're able to be true. You're true. You're telling the honest truth about yourself, and it's an actual appraisal of who you are. Now, when you look at your healthy real, it's very likely that there is going to be some embarrassment, all right? Because we're kind of funny, you know? We're a little peculiar, and we do make mistakes, and you know, sometimes you fart when you bend over. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, you know, there's your healthy reel is laughable sometimes, and that's okay. But where the line it doesn't cross is shame. The healthy reel does not go into the shame game. Because, you know, being, in fact, I would even say sometimes our healthy reel experiences guilt. Because we actually appraise ourselves and say, I really didn't do what I wanted to do. I really wasn't the person I should have been for my kids this morning. I really didn't work as hard on that project as I really know I could have. And I let some people down. And feeling some guilt around that can be motivating, all right? But shame is not. Shame isn't the same as guilt. Shame isn't saying, I could have done better. Shame is saying, there's something wrong with me. All right? That's unhealthy real. Healthy real doesn't go to shame. So we've got to do things to pull us out of that when we go down that road. I think our healthy real has a desire to improve. That's a healthy thing to do. It isn't focused on regret. I remember when I was a young pastor, I preached a sermon about never feeling regret. And a 60-some-year-old guy came into my office afterwards and said, let me tell you about all the regret in my life. Don't tell me I shouldn't have this. It really schooled me. No, you're going to have regret in your life. It's like guilt. But you don't get occupied by it. It doesn't paralyze you. It doesn't stop you. It doesn't keep you from saying, I'm not gonna let that happen again. I'm going to do my best to be the person I need to be and want to be. And I think one of the important things about this healthy reel is that you can see the next step, all right? From where I am now, and I can be honest about that, I can see what the next step is. Now, that says a lot, actually, about what the healthy ideal is. Because if it's an unhealthy ideal, if it's fantasy, if it's fiction, there's no next step to see. Like, how do I, you know, get on the Atlanta Falcons team and play in the Super Bowl this afternoon without getting, like, really hurt? that's not. So the healthy ideal, I think, is exciting. I mean, this is a possibility for me. I could actually be this person. I can figure out what next steps would be to that. That's motivating. It isn't defeating. So this is kind of an interesting thing. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm kind of playing off this whole idea that, you know, professional football is an unhealthy ideal for most of us. But did you guys know, Amanda, can you find that picture? On the Atlanta Falcons, number 77 defensive tackle, Rashid Hageman, went to school here. And his parents are Jacob Swellers, okay? That's Eric and Jill. Eric is at least my size, which gives you an idea about Rashid, okay? And, he's starting. I don't know if he's starting today or not. That picture was just on Facebook yesterday. So he's going to be playing in the Super Bowl this afternoon. So for him, this is a realistic ideal. But he realized that. But he actually had to grow into that as well. I mean, literally and figuratively. And, so that was something for him. So I don't want to just beat up rock stars. I don't want to just beat up, movie stars and athletes and stuff like that. But for the most of us, you know, we need something that's maybe a little bit closer to home. So I think that healthy ideal, it isn't always possible, but it feels relevant. It's something to chase. We're moving towards it. And like I said, you can see a next step. It kind of serves as a model for our life. And I think the biggest thing is when we look at that healthy ideal for ourselves, it feels whole. It feels whole. Like, if I could be that person, it would really kind of use the best of me and bring out the best of me. I may never get there, but it is that. Whereas that unhealthy ideal is, no, actually, you know, if you got there, it probably would be the disintegration of you. Because it's just not going to happen. It isn't a place for us to be. So one of the things about the healthy real and the healthy ideal is that, and this is on your outlines, there's a natural relationship between them. All right? There is a natural relationship. They aren't the same. You aren't at the ideal. You're in the real, but there's a relationship, and it's a healthy one to the healthy ideal, which means you're unstuck, right? You're unstuck. You can do that. You can live there in that middle place. And I think that's some important stuff to be happening. So, you know, what do you experience? And you guys, you know, think about this. This is stuff, if you're following along in the Sunday paper, and by the way, I didn't say anything about that. You know, we do this. If you're new here, you know, why is there Sunday paper with fill-ins? It sounds awfully patronistic. You don't have to do it, right? But the idea is maybe, you know, you're writing some stuff down, you're seeing it, you're hearing it, you're writing it down, you kind of hold it in your head better. And the biggest thing is you're going to write some of your own thoughts down on this, And that's the stuff that's really going to be valuable for you. So use that as some space. But if you didn't have the paper in front of you and the pen in your hand, you wouldn't be doing it. So doing it. One of the things that I think is good for you to write down here is, what are some of the experiences I have in dealing with this? You know, what does the unhealthy real and ideal look like to me? What is the unhealthy one? How do I experience that? What are some of the healthy real and ideals? What are some of the things that I really could take ownership of in my life? And what are some of the things that I could aspire to in my life? So, what is that experience? I think on the unhealthy real, there's a lot of judgment. I think on the unhealthy ideal, we're getting judged by it. That's not a very comfortable thing. I think in the middle, we experience, when we look at our healthy real and realize maybe it's not everything we want to be, there's a sense of forgiveness. You can try it again. And the ideal gives you a sense of hope. There's something I can do. There's a direction to go. And I think it says something about who you are. And then I think the big thing that happens is on the unhealthy real and ideal, there's, on the one hand, you're paralyzed. Your real is just paralyzed. And the ideal is just plain non-existent. You're never going to get there. There's no bridge to that. And in the middle, I would typify that middle place of the healthy real and ideal as a place of growth. A place of growth. It isn't about self-improvement. It's about growing. It's about trying stuff, learning, failing, getting up, doing it again. And I think that's what kind of life is all about with all of that.
Yeah, so last semester I was studying abroad in Namibia, and I had an internship at like a school with 5 and 6 year olds, and I had a really interesting experience with this, I guess. So when you ask small kids here what they want to be when they grow up, they always have an idea, and it's always, like maybe it's musician, football player, something like that, but they have an idea or something to share. And I had done this with my students there, and they just didn't have an answer for me. And, I would prompt them with, oh, well, you could be like a policeman or a teacher or, like listing off some random stuff. And it would still just kind of be like, why are you asking us this? What is this? What? I think it's almost like their parents or people who are talking to them, like, hear you ask your kids, what do you want to be when you grow up or whatever. And I think because they have this like unhealthy real idea of where they are and where their kids are going to be, that they don't ask them those questions or they don't, feed into that. And I think that was such an interesting way to look at it in terms of another culture. And also on the other side of the spectrum, so many of them would just like be in love with like my white skin and light hair and all of that, and it was kind of hard to see that and see them just be obsessed with it. And so I would try to turn it around and be like, oh, but I love your hair and you can do so much cool stuff with your hair and things like that. And I actually had a host sister or whatever, she was playing with my hair one day and she was trying to braid it and she was like, it's so sticky, what's wrong with it? And it was like staticky or whatever, but she hadn't experienced that, so she was like, this is really weird. And I was like, yeah, you probably don't have that. She's like, no, my hair never gets sticky and my mom can actually braid it. Your hair doesn't really braid and stay. And so she like came to this conclusion that like her hair is actually kind of cool compared to mine. And I think that was an interesting like transition from, oh, I love your hair and I, whatever, and then realizing like, her hair is pretty cool
thing. Yeah, really getting a healthier understanding of real. This isn't only a check for ourselves. Like, we aren't only responsible for helping ourselves be in that healthy, real, and ideal place, but we have a lot of power over other people to allow them, to pull them into that healthy, real, and ideal place, especially our children, especially, kids and so on. I've been thinking kind of globally. Hannah has a lot of fascinating stories from Namibia, and I would say our years in Papua New Guinea showed us a lot of the same things, but if you're coming from a third world nation, the world has given a message that you aren't good enough. Mm-hmm. You should be from the West, and I'm sorry to say, you should be white. I mean, that is the message, and there's...
And you see that everywhere. Like, we'd walk into markets, and they'd be selling, skin lightener, and, people just always wanted, our hair and whatever, and no matter where you'd walk into, like that was the clothing or the makeup or whatever.
It's white privilege, it's West privilege that has been imposed upon other countries, not being aware of some of the messages and what we're doing to people's understanding of their own real and what their ideals would be. And they're just borrowing ours and then can't measure up to it because you know, Namibia doesn't have the opportunity, doesn't have the economy, you know, and so on to do it. And unhealthy stuff, you know, how do we turn that around? And you are working pretty hard with your kids to turn that around, to give them a good, healthy understanding of what their real is and help them define some ideals mm-hmm. that were meaningful for them and to value those. So one of the big things here, if you think about this paradigm, it's like, how do we do it? Because you are getting pulled to the unhealthy extremes of this all the time. How do you help yourself get back to the center? Karen Stevenson, who's done a lot of work with us, she has an exercise that she calls the true self. As, I don't know, some of you might remember this. But she talks about, imagine this person in your life, and actually try to think of the name of who this person might be, who you, when you are with this person, you are just able to be yourself. You don't have to play games. You don't have to worry about what you say, whether it's stupid or funny, or you can just be yourself. And you usually, when you're with that person, you feel intelligent, and you're often pretty funny with that person because that is your true self with that person. Now, I don't know, can you think of this person in your life? Now, one of my worries is that in our culture, a lot of us don't even have that person. We don't have one of those people in our lives. The comment was made when we talked about this last time, well, I've got a four-legged person like that. Yeah, I mean, which is wonderful that your cat or your dog plays that role in your life, but it's sad that because there's no people, and it's because we have pushed this unhealthy real and ideal to such an extent that we often don't have these people. But even if you don't have that person in your life, I bet you can imagine what it would feel like to be with them. I mean, I think we all can see that. So the important thing here, that is your true self. Your true self, the one that is this wonderful marriage between the healthy, real, and ideal, already exists. It is in you, right? This isn't something you have to go figure out. It isn't something that you have to manufacture or come up with. It is there. You need to just get freer and freer and learning how to express it and to be that person with more people and to claim that space with other people and find more people in your life that allow you to be that true self with them.
So I have an activity for the middle schooler and high schoolers so they can come up here. And if you have a pen over there, you can bring it. Okay, so I'm giving you a coffee filter. And on the bottom, so this side, the flat side, underneath, I want you to write down some things that maybe you think of yourself in like a negative way. Yeah, right there. And hopefully this. So just some negative messages that, yeah, don't fold it though, because then just keep it as it was. Okay, so write something like a negative message that you think about yourself. And you're not sharing these, so don't worry. Okay, and then on the opposite side, so like the inside of the coffee filter where you would put coffee, I want you to write a positive thing. So maybe this is something that you think of yourself positively, or maybe it's something that someone's told you that you do really well. Okay, and if we did this right, and the coffee filters still kind of look like coffee filters, maybe like bend them if they don't, then I want you guys to try and drop them from any height and see what happens.
You can even turn it over, right?
Should be able to. Just drop it. So what side did it land on?
The good side.
The good side. You can only see the inside, right? And can I have some of you share what you think that might mean?
I think it means that the good side of us is more prominent to everyone else, and that we think that everyone sees the bad side, but really everyone more sees the good side, because that's what we show more.
It's like, wow, this is literally going back to the real and ideal, how other people perceive us and how we perceive others when you guys are talking about the morning and how you've been having a bad morning. And you think other people haven't, but other people are just like you, whether you think so or not.
Does anyone else have anything else to share? Over here?
That good overrules the bad side. Even though this is kind of rigged to go on the good side.
Yes, I guess it is rigged to go on the good side.
But that's because you're rigged to go on the good side.
Yeah.
In the end, it's your true self that is the real self. And that's the one that God knows. That's the one that, you know, that when we get to know you, that we really, really see. When people actually get to figure out who you are, they will always learn that that's the real person. And this just illustrates, yeah, I did try really hard to make it turn the other way, and it won't. It always ends up this way, because that's who we really are.
Cool. Thank you, middle schooler and high schoolers.
Yay. You know, I think one of the things, next on your outlines, you might see a line says, watch for trigger emotions and words. And, you know, what are some of your trigger things? It might be some of those words that were that you would write on those extreme columns. You know, maybe it is envy. Maybe it is I feel judged. Maybe it is, you know, maybe when you find yourself saying I wish too much. But these can be good. Those words that are triggering that emotional reaction with you, if you identify them and know them, when you hear yourself saying them, you can say, hold it, I think I'm playing that game now. I think I'm pushing myself out there, and that's not where I belong. I don't need to do that. I can be this person who's in the middle. One of the things that I think is really true about that is this whole concept of excellence. I think excellence is a really important thing. We have it as a high value here at Jacob's Well, but excellence is very, very different than perfection. People mistake them all the time. We are not asked to be perfect. No one is perfect. There's nothing about us that can be perfect, and that's okay. Excellence is simply, our definition is doing the best you can with what you have. You know, that's a realistic, reaching for a realistic ideal. I'm doing the best I can, and what was excellent today may not quite be excellent tomorrow because I'm capable of more and I can do more, and I'm always reaching for that, but I don't feel judged by it. So, you know, that can be some good stuff for us as well. Do you ever have this inner monologue going on in your head 24/7?
Yeah, I think that's where my problems come from. just what I convince myself of in my head. I don't know.
Does it ever quit?
No.
Yeah. Does anybody else have one of these this little narrator that sits in your head and comments on life? Like, yeah, 24/7, yeah. Yeah. Is your that inner narrator, is it really nice to you? Sometimes, good. Yeah, and good. And you want it to, because I don't know how to turn it off, all right? I don't know how to turn that self-talk off, that narration off. But I do know how to make it behave itself. Well, maybe not real good at it. But I know the difference, right? If you can know the difference between self-talk that's building you up and self-talk that's maybe being honest with you and self-talk that's tearing you down, that's bringing shame, that's bringing judgment, if you know the difference, you can start saying, I'm not going to listen to you today. And how do you do that? Like, when you say, I'm not going to listen to it, but it keeps going, what do? You find a person, right? You find people that will help you reaffirm that no, who I am is okay. And yes, I've got challenges. Yes, I've got things, but let's find a plan to get there. But I don't need to be judged by that monologue that's going on inside of me all the time.
I think an interesting Bible verse to kind of add to this, love your neighbor as yourself. I think we often look at the love your neighbor part, but if the as yourself part isn't, you know, if you're not loving yourself, how can you really love your neighbor? And I think if your self-talk is bringing you down and, you know, you're not giving yourself a positive chance even without talking out loud, I don't think you can really show that love to your neighbor if you can't show it to yourself.
Right, yeah, I think you're right. So, you know, there's another little exercise. The kids wrote on coffee filters, but all of you in your Sunday papers, you have a sticky note. Did you see that in there, in your Sunday paper? And here's what I would like you to do. One of the powerful things I think about reconciling ourselves to our real and reaching for ideals that are meaningful and healthy for us is to write them out, all right? And so what I'd like everybody to do, in fact, like if I'm standing over there after we're done here, I'd like to see everybody walking out with a sticky note on their finger. And write your own, what, self-affirmation, your own healthy ideal and realistic understanding of you. They could be things like, I am me and that's a great thing to be, or you got any good ones?
You can do it. I don't know, I'm just...
you know, learn something and don't apologize for it. Surprise somebody today. So, things like, you're beautiful. You know, and that's really a key one for me. One of the things that we tend to do is say, I'm the most beautiful person in the world. Yeah, you know, that doesn't sound like an unhealthy ideal out there. Yeah, I don't have to be the most beautiful person in the world. Thank goodness. But I am beautiful. Every one of you are beautiful in so many ways. And to remind yourself of those sorts of things.
Yeah, I have some in my shower taped up. I have some, like, cliche quotes.
So so here's the deal. So find that sticky note. Find one that's meaningful for you. Write it on there. Go home, stick it on your mirror. And you might say, yeah, but there's other people in my house, and they're going to see that, and they're going to, you know, they need it too, all right? You're not the only one. They need to see it too, so that's good. In fact, you can tell them I wrote that for you, all right? You know, and then you're off the hook. But I'd also, you'll notice, if you're looking at the Sunday paper, on there's a phone number. Whatever affirmation you picked out, would you please text it to that phone number? You don't have to tell me who you are. I mean, you're welcome to if you want to. And actually, we'll put them all together and show them to you. So take a little time. You're welcome to play with your phones at church, all right? So go ahead and do that. But that kind of brings us to a last thing, which is maybe the last little thing we're going to talk about, and that is sort of the trap of a hollow reward and the freedom of genuine interest. And that's a last fill in there. The trap of a hollow reward and the freedom of genuine interest. One of the things we tend to do is we praise people for stuff that they didn't deserve. You know, there's the classic, Johnny brings his artwork home from school, and he didn't actually even try at school. In fact, you know, he got yelled at for the teacher for not doing it, and then the last 3 seconds he took out a crayon and scribbled on it, and he came home and gave it to you. And you go, oh, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Let's put it on the refrigerator. We're going to keep this forever. And what is the message to Johnny? You think you're being real affirming, but little Johnny knows, I didn't really try. This really wasn't very good. But you're telling me it is, which undermines all the things when you tell me I'm doing a good job, I no longer believe them. And I really don't know how to do anything. But I can't ever say anything about it because you believe that in me, and I don't want the truth to be known. So, you know, why do we always have to, you know, go over the top and say, you're the most beautiful? Why can't we just say, you are beautiful? Why do we have to say that's the greatest piece of artwork in the world? Why can't we just show genuine interest? That's really interesting. Tell me, what were you thinking when you made this? Why did you pick those colors? You know, what did you have fun working on this? Follow it with good questions. You know, go show interest. Discover who they are. Let them discover who they are. Will your six-year-olds have good answers for those kinds of questions?
Sometimes. I think that, if you want to have a person that you're able to, you know, share these things with, that you need to, like, remember that you could be someone else's person, and to, like, show a genuine interest in what's going on in their life. So I'm student teaching in kindergarten right now, and we have this student that always comes in late to class, and, like, if he's having a good day, he'll come in, like, put his stuff down, come sit down. But if he's having an off morning, he comes in, like, bursts in, you know, and tries to get everyone to pay attention to him and not whatever else is going on. And my teacher will often, he has a sticker chart that he brings home every day, and she'll often be like, oh, if you come and sit down right now, like, we'll give you a sticker and whatever. And on a good day, that will work. But on one of his off days, he just, you know, continues and blows up. So what I've kind of started to do, and it's not really easy to do when you have 30 kids in your class and you're the only teacher, but that's the privilege of having two teachers, I guess, is I'll, like, go and follow him to hang his stuff up or whatever, and just ask him about his morning, or, you know, check in with him about what happened the night before, or, you know, just give him a high five and tell him, like, we're gonna have a good day today. And just having that, like, little connection with him in the morning has so much more of an effect on, his behavior the rest of the day, because I actually, you know, like, tried to learn something about him, or tried to show him that I really do care about what's going on with him, rather than, you know, just trying to quiet him down and get him sitting down in the circle with everyone else.
Yeah, he could see through that reward, and it really wasn't meaningful, but that attention actually helped him. Basically, you know, God doesn't have a mouth that I can claim to say things for. God doesn't really work that way, but nonetheless, people have been doing that for a long, long time. And so if I was trying to say to you what I think God is trying to say to us, it would be that God doesn't see you as perfect and doesn't really worry about that. You know, that's okay. Never expected that of you at all. What God sees is the wholeness of you. God sees that coffee filter landing right side up every time. God knows what that is inside of you. And God also sees you as under construction all the time. And God not only is okay with it, that's actually what God is looking for. Because who you are is so amazing and so complicated, there is no way you could ever have it finished, even if you're 100 years old. It's just too big of a vision for who you are. And so God wants you trying stuff and making mistakes and accepting who you are, maybe feeling bad about it sometimes, but not getting stuck there and trying again and figuring out what is next for you. And, you know, that's so important. And this can be hard to do. And we need each other to kind of reinforce that, to help each other see the real, the healthy, real, and ideal within us, and to help each other get pulled back there and to be a good barometer and to get those messages from each other. And hopefully that's one of the things that happens with you in group life. That is a place where you can check in with people in a real enough, intimate enough way that you can be that person there as well. So, you know, that's kind of our message, is keep growing. And don't worry about those things out on the extreme. They don't belong to you, all right? They're the underside of the coffee filter. It's facing the floor. You can forget it. It's that inside message that's important, and that's enduring, and you're going to live with. And may that be who you are. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
You've done good. And the messages, put them up there. How many slides do we have? 3. Because God loves you, because God loves you, because God loves you. I am lovable. You're thoughtful and inclusive of others. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. That was mine. No. I am making a difference every day. You are enough. Let's read these together. Be curious today. I am a creative work in progress. I'm strong even when I'm hurt. Smiles are contagious. Believe, baby steps. You're smart. Try something new. I am loved and lovable and loving. Be bold enough to be honest, transparent, and vulnerable. I know what is right. I believe I could, so I did. Try it. You are enough. Focus and repeat. You are good. You are enough. I am lovable. I am valuable, loved, and able to grow. You're doing a great job. Making mistakes is okay. Woo! Let's give us a hand. Send more. If you didn't send yours in or you have another one, send them to us, and we'll pop them up on Facebook or something so that they're there for the rest of us. So go get unstuck. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks! Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.